We want to give to each one an earnest and a sincere word of welcome to the Lord's house this Sabbath morning. We thank you for your presence. Let me just read to you the word of God. Isaiah 40, verse 31, in keeping with our theme in our Bible study today. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. May the Lord give us all the grace that is needed to wait on Him, to wait on His presence. We're going to sing about that in our opening psalm, the Psalm 40. I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear. At length to me He did incline my voice and cry to hear. So the 40th psalm, we're going to sing the first six verses. It's seven verses in all that we'll sing together. So the first six verses of the Psalm 40, and we're standing together as we sing. There's a couple of lines that we're missing, so we'll just finish at that point. There's only two lines left there, so we'll take our seats, please, and seek the Lord together. Let's still our hearts just in His presence. Father, we do draw nigh to Thee in the attitude of prayer. I'm very thankful for the throne of grace. We rejoice in the place of prayer. We're glad, Father, that we can seek Thee together. We ask at the beginning of this Sabbath, the beginning of this meeting, that the spirit of prayer will come upon us. We want to ask Thee, Father, to come and guide us in our prayers. Our desire would be that You'll lead us on with Yourself. We want to go a little further with God today. We pray, Father, that You'll lead us on, especially in prayer. We ask that personally. And we pray the same, Father, for us as a congregation. Lead us on in prayer. We ask that You'll bless our prayer meetings. We pray for a greater burden upon our hearts, a greater burden upon the hearts of the congregation, to seek Thee in prayer. We want to ask, Father, that the power of God will come down upon the prayer meetings of this church. We ask that You'll bring us to those days where we'll see great answers to our prayers, great answers to our cries. Lord, we ask Thee to be mindful of our nation, to be mindful of our land at this time. We want to pray, Father, that You'll bless this land again, that You'll please to pour out Your blessing upon it. Lord, bring us to that place, even as a church, where You can bless us, and that You'll be able to bestow Your blessing in all its fullness upon us. We ask Thee, Father, to work in our hearts and in our lives. We remember the preparation needed in the lives of God's people, the life of the church, before that blessing will come. We think of that well-known verse that of My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. So we're praying, Father, work in our hearts. Humble us, we pray, before Thee. We pray that we will turn from our sins. Remember the exhortation to the church in the book of the Revelation to repent and do the first works. We ask Thee, Father, to lead us on, even to seek Thee for greater blessing, to seek Your face, even as that verse exhorts. We're asking, Father, that You will come and heal our land. We're conscious, even of the ongoing crisis and pandemic, how it has persisted now for almost 2 years. Remember, Father, that You said in the Old Testament scriptures that You would cause the pestilence to cling onto them. And Lord, we want to ask that there will be a humbling in our land, a humbling of leaders, a humbling of the people, even before Thee, to acknowledge the sins of this land, the sins of this nation. We pray there will be a turning even unto Thee. And we pray, Father, for those that are unwell, that they'll know the healing touch of God resting upon them. We're mindful, Father, of the hospitals and all that work there, the burden, the heavy burden that rests upon them and has done for all of this period. We pray for strength and help to be given. We pray for Your preserving hand to be upon them. We pray for wisdom to be given, Father, and guidance with regard to treatments and cures, even for the virus. Lord, we pray that help might be given and Your blessing will rest upon the labours of all of those involved in the health service. But Lord, we recognise today that above and beyond the physical healing, that our land is in great need of spiritual healing. And we pray, Father, that You might come and do that work. We're conscious that You are the great physician, that You're the physician of souls and of lives. And Lord, our eyes are lifted heavenward today. We need to lift our eyes from ourselves. We need to lift our eyes, Father, even from national political leaders. We need to lift our eyes higher and heavenward. And Lord, we pray for Your intervention. We pray for the Lord to come down. Oh, that You would rend the heavens and come down upon us. We ask Thee, Father, to hear our earnest prayers and our earnest cries. We pray that You'll bless this congregation. We thank You for it. Thank You, Father, for the faithfulness of Your people here. We're thankful, Father, for all that are present, our fellowship together, the exhortation not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll come amongst us today, that this will be a profitable time, a time of refreshing for our hearts and for our souls, a time when we're strengthened in the faith and in the things of God, a time, Father, that makes us ready and prepares us for the week that lies ahead, and whatever that week will bring, whatever this week will hold for us. We've come, Father, even as the text of Scripture that we read at the beginning exhorts to wait upon the Lord. We're here to wait in your house. We're waiting now, Father, before thee in the place of prayer. In a few minutes' time, we'll wait at your feet around your word to receive a message, to receive guidance and instruction from thyself. So we just ask thee, Father, own the meeting. And as we wait, we plead the promise that you'll renew our strength. We come, Father, today as those who are weakened and wearied by the labours of the past week, all the demands and the stresses of life and the burdens of family life and all that's involved in that. And Lord, we need strength. We need our strength to be refreshed and renewed. We need the strengthening touch of God as we continue to live for thee in the days in which we're found. Remember, Father, those that can't be present today. Remember the senior members of our congregation. We ask thee, Father, to remember those who, because of ill health, cannot be here today. Bless Mrs. Watson. Remember her daughter Amy, too, recovering from her surgery. Remember her brother Norman, as he awaits guidance from the doctors with regard to surgery. We're mindful of our brother Peter, and we thank you, Father, for your hand upon him. We're asking just that that might continue in the days that lie ahead. Remember our sister Iris, too, as she continues to recovery. We thank you for the progress that has been made. Thankful, Father, for your hand upon some that have been isolating in recent weeks, able to be with us again today. We remember those that can't be here because of isolation just at this time. May they know the nearness of the Lord and the encouragement of the Lord in their hearts even this day. We give thee thanks, Father, that we're able to be in the house of God. We pray that you'll teach us and speak to us, even not to take these things for granted, how easily and carelessly we do take for granted the blessings, the liberty that you've bestowed upon us. And Lord, help us to value those blessings. And we pray that you'll bless us all today. We plead earnestly, we often, yea, Father, every week as we commence these meetings, we cry for the blessing of God. And we're conscious that we need fresh blessing this day and in this week. So we just plead now, Father, that you will bless very definitely every part of this service and every part of this day. We offer these our cries in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to read together in the Scriptures. Two passages in the book of Genesis that we're turning to together. First of all, we're in Genesis chapter 24, right at the end of the chapter. Genesis 24, beginning at the verse 61, we'll read to the end of the chapter, and then we're going into chapter 25, and we're going to read together from the 19th verse. So it's Genesis 24, at the 61st verse. This is the story of Abraham's servant going to seek a wife for Isaac, and they're now going to commence the journey back. Rebekah with Abraham's servant. Verse 61 says that Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way, and Isaac came from the way of the well Lahai-reo, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And then just going into chapter 25, the 19th verse, and we'll read the section just to the end of verse 28. It says, Genesis 25:19, And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. So we'll just close there, end the reading, at the end of the 20th verse. And we pray earnestly that the Lord will follow with his blessing this, the public reading of his word. We take the opportunity to extend an earnest word of welcome on behalf of the Kirk session of the church here to all that are gathered with us this Sabbath morning. We thank you for your presence. We want to acknowledge your faithfulness in attending, supporting the work of God here in Armagh. That's a blessing and an encouragement to us. We're especially, as always, glad to see the children and the young people that have come along to morning worship, and those that have been present in Sunday school and the Bible classes before this service. Remember this evening, 6 o'clock, the prayer time, downstairs in the prayer room. We encourage you to come a little bit early, set aside just those 25 minutes or so for the season of prayer. Then the gospel service itself tonight, the theme is the greatest of all diseases. We're going to take a look at the theme of leprosy and the picture that is of the greatest of all diseases. So come along to the gospel service this evening, and remember the importance of encouraging, bringing others along to that service with you. Tomorrow evening at 7:30 is the next meeting of the church committee. Tuesday evening at 7:45, both the bright hours, both here in the church hall and down in the band hall in Killalea. Wednesday night at 8 is the midweek service. I hope to be here to lead and to speak at that meeting myself. And then Friday evening is the youth fellowship. I had a very enjoyable time with the young people on Friday night past. Remember Matthew and Hannah, we appreciate the great work that they're doing and the dedication they have just to leading the youth fellowship. And we want to encourage all of the young people of the church to come along to the fellowship on Friday evenings. Next Lord's Day, the first Sabbath in February, the 6th of February, the Sunday school and the Bible class is at 10:40. The morning service at 11:30, and the evening meeting at 6:30, again preceded by the half hour of prayer. In the will of the Lord, I'll be preaching at both of those meetings myself. Just remind the Kirk session that the next meeting will be held on Monday the 7th of February. That's tomorrow night week. Keep in mind the literature. Take time to look for the literature as you're leaving the services. The latest LTBS quarterly magazine is available, and also the latest denominational magazine, The Vision. Both of those are found at the doors of the church. Remember those that are unwell. Our brother Peter Gorman was moved towards the end of the week to the Willow Grove nursing home in Dungannon. He's going to be down there for a number of weeks, perhaps 6 weeks or thereabouts at least, for respite. We were able to speak to Peter briefly on a video call to the hospital just before he was moved. That was on Wednesday evening, so it was good to see him, have that opportunity just to fellowship with him. But remember Peter, and pray the Lord will continue his good hand upon him. We're glad to see some of the families back again that have been isolating in recent weeks, and there's still some unable to be with us as they're continuing or having to continue to isolate just at this time. So do remember those folks in your prayers as well. Keep our sister in mind who's home on furlough. Remember to pray for travelling mercies. The Lord's blessing upon all of those deputation meetings. Our brother Chris Killen, who has that kidney infection following his recent surgery. Our brother Glenn Hamilton, Glenn the third year student in the college. This is his final Lord's Day in Emmanuel Church in Uganda. In the will of the Lord, if everything comes together for him, he'll be commencing the journey home tomorrow. We'll be arriving back in Northern Ireland on Tuesday. And then Dave McCauley from the Hebron Church in Ballymoney. He's also a third year student in the college. Dave will be travelling out on Thursday to Uganda, and he will be occupying the pulpit there for the month of February. So pray for both of these young men. We're thankful for their vision and burden for missionary work. Pray that Glenn will get home safely, and pray that Dave will have a good journey out and his ministry will know the blessing of God upon it among the people there. We're going to sing our second item of praise. It's the hymn 628. I am praying, blessed Saviour, to be more and more like thee. I am praying that thy spirit, like a dove, may rest on me. Thou who knowest all my weakness, thou who knowest all my care, while I plead each precious promise, hear, O hear and answer prayer. So 628, and we're standing to sing, please. Let's just bow together before the Lord. We want to pray that the Lord will be with us. We want to encourage you to pray that you will know the Lord's presence through the message, and that you'll hear the Lord's speaking voice. Father, we bow before thee today in all our need. We feel our weakness, we rejoice that we can say that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank you for the power of the Spirit. We remember today that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We want us that will know the fullness of the power of the Spirit in our lives and in our service. We pray that the fullness of the power of the Spirit will rest upon the ministry of this church and upon every aspect of that ministry in this incoming year. We thank you, Father, for the throne of grace. We're glad that we can seek that throne, every concern, every anxiety. We rejoice in the words of our motto text that we're to be careful about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we're to make our requests known unto thee. And Lord, we confess our need today of a word from God. You know the varying circumstances and situations. You know, Father, the situation in which every person, every family finds themselves in. You know the prayers that are being offered, the direction that is being sought by each person, every believer, every family of this church. And we pray, Father, in the word that is brought, that there might be a word from God for your people here today, a word that will guide, a word that will encourage, a word that will help in the circumstances, a word that might even reveal to your people here today the will of God for them and for their situation, even at this hour. So, Father, we ask you to hear our cries, and we pray that the anointing of the Holy Ghost will rest upon the preaching now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn to the book of Genesis, the 25th chapter. Let me just take verses 20 and 21 as our text. It says, "And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived." We thought last Sabbath morning about Joseph, a little of what the Bible tells us about Joseph, one of the great characteristics of his life, the wounds that he received and experienced through that long life, especially the early part of his life. I want to think this morning about Joseph's grandfather, Isaac. The theme of the message is learning to wait on God. I wonder, did you ever stop to think, ever stop to realize how much waiting we actually do in life? In fact, it would be true to say that life is made up of many waiting stages. For example, we wait on the child being born, and then we wait on the child walking, we wait on the child talking, the child must wait to go to school, then it must wait to leave school. Afterwards, the young person must wait for employment, wait for promotion. And then when they get married, they just wait on the whole process all over again with their own family and their own children. And then as life goes on, before you know it, you're waiting to retire. And then we're just waiting to die, waiting for our life to draw to a close. And in between your birth and your death, you wait on 100, yea, 1,000 other events. So it's true to say, men and women, most of life is just spent waiting. You just consider that, think about it, as you go through every day, every week, every month, go through your life, and you'll realize how true it really is. Most of life is spent in waiting. And yet, if we're honest today, waiting is something we're not very good at, even as the Lord's people. We're so impatient. We're so short-tempered. We're always in such a rush. We must have everything instantly. But remember, life is not like that. In life, we must wait. And we have to wait. And I venture to say to you this morning that one of the greatest lessons, remember the title of the study today, Learning to Wait on God. And I venture to say to you this morning that one of the greatest lessons that we all could ever learn is just that. Just learning to wait. Learning to be patient. And especially, learning to wait on the Lord Himself. The Saviour says, ye have need of patience. Those are the words of Paul to the Hebrew believers. And we would all be so much more content if we just displayed that patience, if we could only wait, and especially if we could only wait on Him. And that, brethren and sisters, is really what Isaac was. To a large extent, that sums up his life. Isaac was a waiter, a man who waited. He was a man who was patient. In fact, I think it would be more accurate to say he was a man who learned to be patient. I was amazed when I looked at Isaac's life just to see how often he was found waiting. It's interesting, he lived the longest of all the patriarchs. He lived to be 180 years of age. And through that long life, he's often found waiting. Time and time again, he had to display patience. And what I want to do today, just for a little while, is show you especially three people that Isaac had to wait for. Three people during his lifetime that Isaac had to wait upon. The first is this. Isaac waited for a wife. Did you ever notice what age Isaac was whenever he married? Well, it's recorded there for you in verse 20. Genesis 25, verse 20. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. So Isaac was 40 whenever he married. And although that's not old, I think we could all agree it's old for a bridegroom. Some have married in their late teens. Most marry in their 20s. Some wait until their 30s. But Isaac was a full 40 years old whenever he married. There's an old expression, some would describe that as a long forenoon. But he displayed patience in this matter. He waited for a wife. The reality, brethren and sisters, I think we could say today is there are few like Isaac in that respect. Because here's an area where most, if not all, show little patience. For some strange reason or another, most can't wait to get married. There's the fear of being left on the shelf, the fear of getting no one, the fear of what others might say. And so many go out of their way to marry in a hurry, to find someone and marry them quickly, marry them immediately. Or they marry the first person that comes along that shows any interest in them. And the sad thing, we all know it to be true, sometimes it doesn't work out. Many a young person, even many a young Christian, through lack of patience, married the wrong person, and as a result, maybe made shipwreck of their life, ended up with a broken home, a broken marriage, and of little use in the service of Christ. There's an old saying, they married in haste, but they repented at leisure. And what a warning, brethren and sisters, what a warning, especially for young people today. I want to say to the young people in the meeting this morning, be warned by that matter. Take your time. Look around you. See the mistakes, see the mess that some have made of marriage. And take your time. Wait. Be patient. It's right that you get married. We want to emphasized that in this wicked, adulterous, immoral generation in which we're found, it's right that you get married. It's right for young people to marry. The Bible says that marriage is honorable in all. Marriage is a holy and blessed institution, a holy and blessed estate that was ordained of God, and young people ought to marry. But the point we're stressing to you today is you need to be sure that you're marrying the right person. You need to be sure when you take that very significant step in your life that you're doing so in the will of God. Now, some of you might say this morning, I wish I'd heard that message 20 years ago and more. But what relevance has that for me today? Well, I suggest to you that it has every relevance. Because remember, marriage is a major decision in life. And there are many such major decisions. We're often faced with very important decisions in our lives. We're often faced with those decisions that will affect you and your family for a long while to come. And the same principle that applies to those decisions, that applies to marriage. Don't be hasty. Don't rush into it. You need to wait. Don't do it. Don't go into that matter. Don't take that decision unless you're sure that it's God's will for your life. Do you remember Mary's husband, Joseph? Remember, there was a crisis in his life. He had learned that Mary was with child. And the Bible tells us this very important detail about Joseph at that time. While he thought on those things, he had a decision to make in his life. He had a major decision that had to be made. But he wasn't rash. He wasn't hasty. And if you have a big decision to make in your life, in your home, your family, your business, whichever the case may be, that's how to make it, brethren and sisters. Take time. Think it through fully. Think it through prayerfully before the Lord. The Bible says, he that believeth shall not make haste. If you're a man or a woman of faith, one of the marks, the characteristics of a man or woman of faith is patience. You'll never rush into something. The great exhortation of the Scriptures, wait on the Lord. So, brethren and sisters, let's counsel you today. Let's exhort you today. Have patience. Don't do anything hasty that you will regret. You need to wait. Wait on God. Learning to wait on God is our theme. May the Lord write that in your heart. You need to wait on God's time. And you need to wait on God's opportunity. So Isaac waited for a wife. The second thing I'll emphasize in the story is that Isaac waited for a child. If you look at verse 21 of Genesis 25, it says, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. So we learn here that Rebekah was barren. In other words, she had borne no children. We can all imagine the pain. We can all imagine today the anxiety that must have caused for this young couple as they were setting out in married life together. The reality is that many years of married life went past for them, and there was no children that were born in the home. In fact, 20 years, a score of years, went past before any children were born to Isaac and Rebekah. If you note a little further down the chapter, verse 26, at the end of the verse, it says Isaac was 80. So remember, score is 20, 80 is 60. Isaac was 80 years old when she, that is, when Rebekah bare them, when Rebekah bare the twins, Esau and Jacob. So Isaac was 60 when the twins were born. And remember, he was 40. We emphasized that a little earlier. He was 40 when he married. So 20 years had passed before any children came along. And brethren and sisters, I want you to see from that Isaac and Rebekah had to wait on a child being born in the home. But do you know what they did during all of those years while they waited? The answer is they prayed. Isaac especially, there's a reference in the chapter as well to Rebekah praying a little later whenever there was the struggle between the boys going on in her womb. But especially if you look at verse 21 of Genesis 25, it says, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him." In other words, the Lord heard and answered his prayer. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. So I want you to see, to learn, Isaac prayed for his wife at this time. Can I ask you to pray for your wife, your husband? Isaac prayed for his wife. He prayed specifically about this matter, that this matter that was a burden, this matter that was a cause of anxiety to them. He prayed that God would touch his wife and give them a child. And God answered exceeding abundantly. God gave them the double portion because God blessed them with twin boys. So God heard the prayer. Isn't it true to say, brethren and sisters, that this is a matter that many Christians would never dream of praying about? You might think that that's far too carnal, that's far too mundane a request to bring to God in prayer. And yet Isaac's example, remember, God by his Spirit has written this story into the book. And it's here for our example. These things are written for our learning. Isaac's example shows us that we can and we should pray at such times and pray about such things. Pray about a wife who is barren, knowing that God will be well pleased with that petition. Didn't Hannah pray in the same way? She found herself in the same condition. She also was barren, and she prayed for a son. And God heard and answered that prayer. Remember, she called him Samuel because he was asked of God. Now, I know that this matter may not be relevant to many of you in the congregation this morning. You may not be in this situation, but I point it out because you may be able to help someone else in this situation. You may know someone and they find themselves in these circumstances, or one day someone with this problem may come to speak to you, to ask for your help, to ask for your counsel. And if they do, I want you to remember this story. Show them Isaac and Rebekah's example to guide and encourage them at that time. You can tell them the lesson of this story. You may have to wait. May have to wait on children. And the way to wait is the way that this couple waited. You wait at the throne of grace, entreating the Lord, pleading with the Lord in prayer about that matter. But let me suggest to you that you may be barren in another way, because you may have never have led a soul to Christ. You may never have been used as a soul winner. And if that's true of you, brethren and sisters, that's a matter for concern. That's something that should trouble you. You should not sit content, or you should not be content with that situation. And the example of Isaac applies to us here as well, because you need to wait in prayer. You need to again wait at the throne of grace, and sometimes you'll have to wait in prayer for many years before a person will be saved. If you read the story of Adoram Judson, the great missionary to Burma, it was at least 7 years that he laboured diligently, faithfully, earnestly, prayerfully in that land before the first soul came to Christ. At times the tide goes out. I think we, spiritually, in the land here at this time, that's how we find ourselves. The tide of blessing has gone out. At those times, God tests you. God tests the church. And he tests us to see if we'll keep at the job, to see if we'll continue to be faithful, And especially to see if we will keep at the place of prayer. Keep before the Lord privately, keep before the Lord publicly, crying to Him for His blessing. It says in Acts chapter 1, these all continued with one accord in prayer. And we need to do the same, brethren and sisters. Don't lose heart. Don't become discouraged. Don't let the devil discourage you from coming to the prayer meetings of the church. We need to continue in prayer, as the early church did. We need to persevere at the throne of grace, especially pleading with the Lord for His blessing and pleading with the Lord for souls, for men and women to be born again of the Spirit of God. Remember what the prophet of old said, it's when Zion travailed that she brought forth. And it'll only be as we travail, as we wrestle in prayer with the Lord, it's only then that the cry of newborn babes in Christ will be heard in our midst, will be heard amongst this congregation. So he waited for a wife, he waited for a child, but we also learn in the story that he waited upon the Lord. If you look at the previous chapter, the 63rd verse, especially chapter 24, verse 63, it says, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Notice the words, Isaac went out to meditate, or if you have a Bible with a margin, the alternative reading there is to pray, went out to pray, to meditate in the field at eventide. That's a verse that has always thrilled me. Because here's a man who waited on God. Here's an example, brethren and sisters, of Isaac at prayer. Another example. We had an example in chapter 25. We highlighted as he prayed for his wife. So here's another example that Isaac was a man of prayer, certainly so in the younger years of his life. Whenever his day's work was over, what did Isaac do in the evening? He went off into the field. He went out into a quiet spot. And there he got alone with God. There he spent time with the Lord. He got away from all that would distract him. Got away from everything that would disturb him. And there he prayed. There in that quiet spot, he thought upon the things of God. The word that's used by our translators in the verse is meditate. And you will know it takes time to meditate. You have to linger. You need to linger if you're really going to ponder over the things of God. You would have to wait to make the meditation worthwhile. So here's a man who waited upon the Lord. And brethren and sisters, if there is any area where we show our lack of patience, our lack of ability to wait, then this is it. Because we find it so hard just to wait before the Lord Himself. Remember the rebuke of the Savior to those three disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? The way that question's formed, it suggests that's the very least that is to be expected. And yet we must hang our heads in shame and answer no. We can't wait. Spend an hour. Just think of that. Spend an hour before the Lord. We're so much like Martha and not enough like Mary. We have all so much to do and we have no time to sit at the Savior's feet. No time to wait upon the Lord. Whenever I first read the story of Martha and Mary, I used to have the idea that Martha did everything and Mary did nothing. Mary did nothing, only sit about. Just sit there with the Savior. But that's wrong. That's a wrong view of the story. And it's a wrong view of what Mary did. Luke says of Mary that she also sat at Jesus' feet and listened to His words. Notice the little word there, also. Now that word also, it cannot mean that Martha sat at Jesus' feet and Mary also did the same. That can't be the meaning, because Martha didn't sit at the Savior's feet at all. What it actually means is this. that Mary did some work around the house. She was involved in some of the preparations for the hospitality as well. But she also, in addition to that work, sat at the Saviour's feet. She had a balanced life, a balanced Christian life between working and waiting. She took time to wait on the Saviour, which Martha failed to do, sadly. And we must do the same, brethren and sisters. We need to take time. Take time every day to wait upon the Lord. And I want to encourage you to do that. Spend time with the Lord. Sit at the Saviour's feet every day of your life. As the Saviour exhorted, do you remember the words in the Sermon on the Mount when he was dealing with the subject of prayer? But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You need to get away from all the distractions of the world. You need to get into the closet. You need to shut out the world and shut yourself in with God and spend that time praying to your Father which is in secret, and he shall reward thee openly. He's teaching us to wait on the Lord. And let me assure you that that will be time well spent, brethren and sisters, because from that time you will gain strength. From that time you will gain the power that is needed for life and for all the difficulties, all the struggles, all the challenges, all the duties and all the burdens of life. Remember that text we read at the beginning, how important it is. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Do you feel weak today? Do you feel weary? Are you in need of more strength? Your strength being renewed? Your strength being refreshed, replaced? Well, here's how it comes about. It's they that wait upon the Lord. They that take time to sit at his feet that shall renew their strength. You think of Susanna Wesley. Susanna Wesley was the mother of Methodism. Sometimes she's described that way because she was the mother of John and Charles Wesley. She brought up a total of 10 children. And if anyone needs strength, it's a mother who has young family and all the demands of bringing up those children. Well, where did Susanna get the strength to bring up those 10 children? Well, she got it by waiting upon the Lord. It was well known by her family. It was a testimony of her life that she was a woman that spent an hour with God every day, generally in the early part of the afternoon. So I want to encourage you, mother, father, whoever you are in the meeting, follow the example of Susanna Wesley, that great mother in Israel. So waiting on the Lord, learning to wait on God. Three people that Isaac had to wait for in his lifetime, or needed to wait for. Waited for a wife, he waited for a child, and then he waited on the Lord himself. Let me just close with this thought. If I could quote you the words of Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 3. He says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Just ponder that verse for a moment. You might ask today, why have I been afflicted as a Christian? Why have I to endure trial? Why is it that hard times, why is it that difficult circumstances have come my way and crossed my path? Well, there's one of the answers of the Bible, one of the answers of God and his word to all of those questions. Tribulation. What is the purpose of tribulation in the life of a Christian? Tribulation worketh patience. God's teaching you. You're in the school of God, just as Isaac was through his long life. And God is teaching you patience. God wants you to learn, especially to wait on him. He wants you to be like Isaac in this regard. And I stress to you again, what contentment you would know What contentment you would enjoy if we could only learn that lesson well. Learning to wait on God. One of the greatest lessons any of us can learn in all the Christian life. May the Lord be pleased today to make His word a blessing to every heart. 413 is our closing hymn. Think of the words in keeping with the subject. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing His blessing to seek. The first two verses only, the hymn 413, and we're standing as we sing, please. Together in prayer. Father, we thank you for the time spent in thy presence. Thank you for the blessing that we've known. We thank you for the good word of God that has come to our hearts. We thank you, Father, for all that you've taught us and instructed us today from the scriptures. We confess our need of that patience. We ask thee to grant it to us. We pray, Father, give us the grace that is needed just to wait upon the Lord. We pray, Father, that you'll give us a heart that is teachable, a heart that is receptive to the message of God and to the teaching of the Scriptures. And Lord, our prayer is that day by day that you'll mould us and shape us and make us all more like our Saviour. Our prayer would be that others would see Christ in us. So hear and answer these our prayers. We commit the congregation to thee now, as we part and leave thy house. And our prayer is that your presence will be with us and your blessing will attend to all that we seek to do for thee in this incoming week. And now may the blessing of the Triune God, the blessing of Father, Son and Holy Spirit, be our abiding portion, we pray, in Jesus' name.